we're going to try to finish up this. We will finish up this packet tonight. Bli Nedar, whether we finish it or not, we're finishing up this packet tonight. The next one is already up on the table over there. I put it out already. And the next one, I don't really want to spend more than a day, maybe two on. But it's really a hemshech of inyanim that relate to the hezek of not having a mezuzah, which is the halacha, it's called in Shulchan Aruch, that when you leave a house, you're not allowed to take the mezuzahs down when you go because of the lack of shmirah. So I just thought that this is the natural spot to fit that in. After we've been talking about the shmirah, we've been talking about that Indian, so I thought we'd discuss that halacha a little bit, especially since that's very halacha l'maisa. It comes up at least once in pretty much everybody's life. Removing mezuzahs when you leave, and again, as I said, going forward, the best way to learn these sugyas, read through the Gemaras. Lam Gimel Amar Aleph, Lam Gimel Amar Beis, Lam Dalet Amar Aleph. Just read through all the Gemaras because the Gemara doesn't really break down in the same order that the Shulchan Aruch does. So once you have the Gemaras and you have just a basic overview of what the Gemaras say, it will be a lot easier to go through all of the halacha. You should also probably take a look at Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. A lot of the halachas come over there also. So those two sugyas. So yesterday we went through the various benefits of having a mezuzah, and one of the benefits that the Torah had mentioned of having a mezuzah is that if you have a mezuzah, it's man yirbu yimechem yimei v'nechem, that it's going to be arichus yamim for yourself and for your children. And then the Torah said that the opposite is also true, that if you don't put up a mezuzah, it's going to be a chas v'shalom, it could cause that people will die young and children will die young, and it's a very bad thing. And the Torah says, it doesn't say that in the pasuk yet, but mechlal hein atoshumei alav. From the fact that the pasuk tells you what you get for doing mezuzah, you can deduce on your own what you get for not doing mezuzah, what kind of punishment one gets for not doing mezuzah. So the Beis Hillel, which is a commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, just points out that there is a Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph where the sugya discusses the concept of Tanai Kafel. I have the Beis Hillel here, I think, somewhere. Yeah, in source number 16, he points out the Gemara in Kiddushin. He says, first of all, even before we get to the Gemara in Kiddushin, Rashi on Chumash has a very similar deduction. Rashi has a very similar kind of comment, because the Gemara the Pasuk says, the Chumash says, that for Kibra Ve'eim L'man Yarichu Yemecha, right, that's what caused Acher to go crazy when he saw the kid. Listen, the Gemara Kiddush says when there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that it says man yarich nimecha shiluach hakan and kibra ve'aim, and a father tells his son go do shiluach hakan for me, and the kid died on the way to go do shiluach hakan for his father. So he thought that's he just couldn't grasp that, couldn't understand that. But anyway, those are the two mitzvahs that says man yarich nimecha. So Rashi and Chumash says so if you do kibra ve'aim you get arichus yamim. So v'imlo yiktzurun. If you don't do kibra ve'eim, then it's going to be ktsiras yamim. Then it's going to go the opposite. It's not going to just be average that you'll live whatever. You may shalosav shaladim shivim shana. You're not going to live a 70-year lifespan if you don't do it. If you don't do it, then it's going to be ktsira. Then it's going to cut a person's life short. So the Beis Hillel just points out there is a machlokas from Meir and the Rabbanan in Kiddushin Daf Samach Aleph, a very famous sugi in Shas, about tonight kafel, that if you want it tonight to be binding, does the tanai need to be a double tanai? If I say, if you do this, then I will give you something positive, is the tanai binding even if I don't say the negative? Even if I don't fill in, and if you don't do it, then I'm not going to give that to you. Or if you don't do it, then I'm going to punish you. Is the tanai binding? And the Gemara tries to bring rayas, imbechu kosai telechu, v'imbechu kosai temasu, that what the Torah itself is giving a tanai kafel over there. If you do yes, if you don't, if you follow the mitzvos, then you'll get reward, otherwise you won't get reward. You have imtetiv se'es, and then on the flip side, lepesach atos rovetz, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Musar Shmuz, to Kayin, after he didn't accept Kayin's karban, you have both sides. So, bottom line is, what emerges from that Gemara, is that you're only able to deduce the negative from the positive when it's said explicitly in the pasuk. Meaning, even if you hold the tanai is binding when it's not a tanai kafel, that just means that the tanai is binding in the positive, But in the negative, it would just mean pariv, right? In b'chukosai teleichu, you're going to get great schar. So what does that mean? If you hold that, you don't need it tonight, kafel. So what would that mean if that's all it said? If it didn't say b'chukosai temasu, what that would mean is b'chukosai temasu, you'd get neither schar nor punishment. So that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to say no. If you b'chukosai temasu, you can get punishment. But you're never allowed to deduce the opposite. You could deduce from the positive even without a tanai kafel, according to one shita in Tanaim, that when it's not a tanai kafel, it works. You can deduce that if you don't do it, then you're not going to get the reward. You can never deduce the opposite. So the Beis Hillel wonders, where in the world does the Torah get the right to say that when the Torah says l'man yerichin yamecha, l'man yirbu yamecha, that if you don't do it, it's going to be a ktsiras yamim? Where does Rashi get the right to say it when it comes to kibud aveim? So that's the kasha of the Beis Hillel. So Birkei Yosef, which is authored by the Chidah, the Chidah's commentary on Shulchan Aruch, it's in a separate volume. Chidah was one of the most prolific authors of Jewish history, really. He wrote a tremendous amount of Svarim. So one of his more famous Svarim in Birkei Yosef, his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, his halachic work, one of his halachic works, he writes that maybe there's a chilek to be made between a standard situation of Tanai Kafel and a situation where the Torah says, if you do this mitzvah, this is your schar. Tanai Kafel, he says, typically, when do you have a Tanai? A Tanai is generally, what's the classic example? Why does it come up in Kiddushin? Why does it come up in Kiddushin and Gittin? Why are the sugyas of Tanai and Gittin and Kiddushin? Because typically a Tanai is, you Mekadesh Nisha Almanas, that Titni Limasayim Zuz, Almanas, whatever, you give some sort of Tanai. Sheyirtza Abba, Sheyirtza Avicha, something like that. You know, you meet a girl, you fall in love, you're not sure if your father's going to like her, but you're very close to your father, you want to make sure your father likes her. So Almanas Sheyirtza Abba. Or you want to make sure the Shver is okay, Almanas Sheyirtza Avicha. I don't want to have a whole life where the Shver doesn't like me. So Almanas Sheyirtza, I was just at a Levaya today. The son-in-law gets up at the Levaya and says, when I got married to my wife, I wanted my father to love me, so I baked him an apple pie, and from then I could do no wrong. Okay, I'm not just an eight says I'm thinking about it. That was the whole aspect. That's all he said. Anyway, that's all he said. This whole thing. So from then I could do no wrong. He likes apple pie. Okay, it's a good muster in there somewhere. But normally when you have a tanai kafel is good. The tanai is a deal between two people that you're trying to say that a mekach, a transaction of some sort, again a kiddushin. So says Birkei Yosef in the second paragraph over there. V'yir depluked the tanai who dafka b'tanai shebein adam l'chaveiro. It's dafka on a tanai that's been adam l'chaveiro. V'im bein Yisrael l'makom or bein Yisrael l'makom, meaning it's a tanai when there's a deal between two parties. The parties don't have to both be human. One of the parties could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's fine. As long as it's a deal. Dikshadavar b'toras t'nai, kigon b'nei gadu b'nei ruvein. That's the classic example of t'nai. That's where we learned the whole t'nai, the din of t'nai kafel from. B'nei gadu b'nei ruvein, when they say, we want to stay on the, we want the land on the Eivar HaYarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a t'nai with them. If you come and you help your brothers in battle on this side of the Yarden, then you're going to get the land on the other side of the Yarden. And if you don't, then he spells out. So that was a deal between two parties, the rest of Klal Yisrael and B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. All the examples in the Torah, is a deal between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. If you generally are upstanding citizens, you will get these brachos. Otherwise, the tochacha, you're going to get all the klalos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Kain, if you do good, I'll uplift you. Otherwise, at your door will crouch sin, whatever that means. So there's going to be bad things. So as b'tanaim l'rameir b'ayi t'nai kafel l'rabban yesh mashma lo bracha v'lo klala. Then Rameir would say you need a t'nai kafel, and the Rabbanan would say you don't need a t'nai kafel, but the negative would mean that it's nothing, not that it's the opposite, but that it's simply a zero. Aval b'kol ha-Torah adover yadua shakam b'gufi Torah k'suvim b'remez v'harim atzulim b'sa'ara u'pshita d'mechal heinat t'shmei alav alib d'kulei alma. He says, when it comes to dinim in the Torah, when it comes to mitzvahs in the Torah, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu just giving us Torah, giving us mitzvahs, explaining to us what's expected of us, so it has to be that you could be medayek from every single word. That's the way Torah works. Torah is made to be medayek in every single word. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a mitzvah of mezuzah, and he says, L'man yirbu yimechem, it has to be that you could be medayek that if it, that if we don't do it, that that we're going to get punished. It's not a deal. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a deal with us. This is Torah. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the mitzvahs. But Chukos HaSeleichu is a more general thing. You're upstanding. It's not about any given mitzvah. It's your upstanding citizens, and we're making a deal right now about how Eretz Yisrael is going to be given to you or taken away from you. So it's a deal. It's a deal between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mankind. But when you're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us specific mitzvahs, he says it can't be that we can't, that we shouldn't be medayik, because how many gufei Torah, tuluyim b'sa'ara, hang by a thread, by a single, just a little tiny word or a nuance of, in a pasuk, and we learn whole mesechtas out of them. He says, v'zeh meduktuk p'loshon Rashi, shekasuf shedivrei Torah, nutrikun heim. What does Rashi say over there by Kibud Aveim? So he says, Kibud Aveim, l'man yarichun yamecha. So Rashi says, and if you don't do Kibud Aveim, it's going to be the exact opposite. So how does Rashi introduce that? He says, because Divrei Torah are a nutrikun. Nutrikun means generally like an abbreviation, right? A nutrikun is like an abbreviated form of the word. Kolomar, what does that mean? After the Alma be'in mishpatei ha'tonayim, he says Rashi's addressing this very question. Normally when you make a deal between two parties, you need the mishpatei ha'tonayim, you need the rules of Tanai Kafel. Over here though, it's Divrei Torah Nutrikun. Divrei Torah, everything is viewed as a Nutrikun. Everything is viewed as like a hint to something much bigger. Like a Rashi Tevis is a hint to something much bigger. That's the way Divrei Torah work. Mimela, you don't need Tanai Kafel. Mimela, you can be Medayek from, if the Torah says that you get a Rich Siyam for Kibbut Aveim, that if you don't do it, it's going to be Ktsiras Yamin, that you're going to go in the other direction. That's what Rashi's trying to address, says the Chida. That's the Birka Yosef's suggestion to try to defend the Torah and Rashi. Yeah.
Isn't the Torah and its mitzvot an agreement between the Bnei Yisrael and Hashem?
The
being that Hashem went to all the other nations, and the fact that they...
No. The general idea of observing the Torah is something that we were makabel upon ourselves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's schar va'onesh.
It's still an agreement.
Yeah, but it's an agreement that we accepted to do it, and therefore we do it. It wasn't like, if you do this, yes.
I thought every time, though, has to be spelled out.
No, when it's an agreement between two parties that going forward, if you do this, then I will reward you with this special reward, and if you don't, then I won't reward you. So that's a Tanai that has to be spelled out. The Torah... Right. The meaning, once something becomes part of Torah, the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of telling us, you know, this is it. This is life's rule book. It's not a special... It's not that each mitzvah is a deal. Mitzvahs aren't a deal. The whole thing is a deal. The whole thing is this life's rule book. This is what you have to do. When there are specific deals that are specified in the Torah, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying in B'chukos HaTelechu, what it's going to take to keep Eretz Yisrael, so that's a special deal going forward, independent of the fact that we have to keep all mitzvahs. Meaning, even if we don't want Eretz Yisrael, we still have to keep all mitzvahs. That's a specific deal. Imtaitiv Se'es is a specific deal between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kayin. So that's a specific deal, but when you're dealing with the totality of Torah, so that's not a deal, it's just life's rule book. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from us. That's how the Birka Yosef understands. Okay. Now, the last two issues I wanted to discuss in this packet over here is, number one, the minhag that many people have, that they kiss the mezuzah. So just go through a little bit of what that's based on, where that minhag comes from. And then also to discuss just very briefly, well, not so briefly, but to discuss also what one should do if you can only afford tefillin or mezuzah. Now, not because I think you're going to be in such a triage situation where you can only afford tefillin or mezuzah. Hopefully we'll never be in that situation, but it's megale a lot to us about the nature of each mitzvah. What the poskim have to say about those kinds of choices tells us a lot about the nature of each mitzvah. So first, the Raman, Sim Resh Pei Hei, Sif Beis, records the practice that you put your hand on the mezuzah when you leave a room, when you enter a room. The Raman mentions that that's the minhag. But all he says is to put your hand on the mezuzah. He doesn't say anything about kissing the mezuzah. So let's just get it in the... if you look in the source number 29, it is, right? Yeshom k'sha adam yotzei min habayis yaniach yado ala mezuzah, quotes from the Maril, v'yomar, and you should say, Hashem yishmor tzeisi. So we kiss instead and don't say anything. Right? So Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi, that's what you should really say. Why would you say Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi? So this is very much in line, and this is an offshoot of the Rambam Shita. Now, what's the whole purpose of the mezuzah? Not only for protection not only for Arichas Yamim, but the purpose of Mezuzah is to inspire you to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over you, and when that and it only works if you realize that it's there, if you remember that it's there. So you should put it also works with the Shemira element. Shemira isn't magic. The Shemira is it inspires you to a tefillah for Shemira, and the Mezuzah is symbolic of the Shemira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And he says, V'chein k'shikani sadam l'bayis yaniach yadol Mezuzah. There you don't say anything. Interesting. The mezuzah protects the inside of the house. When you go into the house, you don't say anything. When you go out of the house, you say Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi. So what it leads you to believe is it's pure Rambam here. This has nothing to do with Shmira, right? This, he's purely focused on the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? That the whole idea of mezuzah is to inspire you to live in a certain way. So when do you really need the help? When you're going out of the house and you're about to face the big wide world out there, so that's when you need a little extra inspiration. So then it's Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi. Yeah. The Lashon seems to imply the Shmira of the bias, but the Gemara seems to say the Shmira of the person, because we say that the king, the mashal that Unklus gave it the king, is that you're sitting there secure in the house. So what's interesting to me is that it doesn't say anything about kissing in Shulchan Aruch. It just says putting your hand on the mezuzah, Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi when you go out, when you come back in, just putting your hand on the mezuzah. I saw in the Sefer Pischei Sha'arim, I have two svarim on Hilchas Mezuzah. One of them is called Pischei Sha'arim. So he tells a maisa with the Chassam Sofer that someone came to the Chassam Sofer for smicha b'china, and he did well, and then as he was leaving the room, he didn't kiss the mezuzah, he didn't put his hand on the mezuzah, and Chassam Sofer flunked him for it. He said he must be a maskil, because Chassam Sofer, that's they tell. Like, there are like a dozen different versions of that story. One version of the story is he was giving the spicha b'china, the guy wasn't shuckling when he was learning, and he flunked him for that. And the point of all the versions of the story is that there's a certain like minog Yisrael, there's a certain like tremor of Torah, a certain feeling of Torah that you're supposed to have, and he felt that it's that the person's probably a maskil if he doesn't have that. That I don't even know how to describe it. That intangible in how he deals with Torah. So anyway, whether you believe that story or not, irrelevant. But where does kissing come from? Kissing the mezuzah. So the Birkei Yosef in Yerides in Resh Pehei Os Dalit again Chidon Birkei Yosef quotes from the Arizal Yaniach Etzbo Hanikra Ama Al Shakai Vinashkehu. You put the finger that's called the Ama, the finger that the Gemara in Ksubis tells us what each of the fingers. What their function is. This one's to plug your ear, this one, is to do the kmitza, and this one is the zera. Okay, so they each have their own functions in halacha. This is the amma. The amma is to measure, it's a measuring stick. From here to there is the size of an amma on an average person, from your elbow to the top of your middle finger. So that's why the middle finger is called the amma. So you place the middle finger, dafka, on the shakai, on the outside of the mezuzah, and you kiss it. That's the minhag of the Arizal, and you say, Hashem Yishmor Tzeisi, V'chilufo ba'osios hamucharos tacha she'atzilene she'atzilene me'etzar hara. And why the shin dalad yud? Why does that help? Because there are like dozens of forms of gematrias. One of the forms of gematrias is to take the very next letter in the alphabet from each of the letters that are in the word. So the letter after shin is tough. Letter after dalad is hey. The letter after yud is chaf. Jumble them around and it's takeh. So you're saying God beat up the yetzar hara. Girabeda de Sitna kind of thing. It should beat up the Yetzer Hara. What does that mean? I don't know, but the Arizal. Okay, the Arizal knew what he was talking about in these types of inyanim for sure. So that's where Arizal explains the minhag to kiss the mezuzah, but dafka to put your finger on the mezuzah and kiss. The Mishnah Brura in Simchav Dalit, Sivkat Dalit quotes the minhag to kiss the tzitzis when he say the parsha of tzitzis in Kriya Shema. Chazanish, they say, would not kiss the mezuzah on the way out of his house. In the Tshuvas Ksavim of the Chazanish, which is a separate sefer, not in the general sefer of the Chazanish, says that he wouldn't kiss the mezuzah, but that he would stare at the mezuzah on the way out. He would just like look at it on the way out of the house. Pashtus, because he didn't hold of the minhag of the Arizal. He held what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what it says in the Rambam, rather, that it's supposed to be an inspiration. So the inspiration comes from recognizing that it's there. Rav Henkin in Eidus Yisrael, Simon Samach Gimel, Eidus Yisrael is Rav Henkin's tshuvas. I saw when I was at my brother's house once in California, I opened up his Eidus Yisrael, and it said on the inside cover, Misifrei Moshe Feinstein. That's the one sefer he yarshin from the Zayda. So he has a Ramosha's copy of Edus. My brother's married to a great granddaughter of Ramosha. So the one thing he yarshin from Ramosha is the Edus Lisrael. So I had to read the whole thing then. You know, it's like it's Ramosha's Edus Lisrael. I got to use it. So in Edus Lisrael in Simon Samach Gimel, I didn't really read the whole thing, but in Simon Samach Gimel, he says that he doesn't feel it's appropriate to kiss the Sefer Torah directly. It shows too much comfort, it shows too much familiarity, too much of a comfort level with the Sefer Torah. Maybe he would say that, so he would say, put your hand on it, put something else on it, don't kiss it directly. It shows it's inappropriate. So Mestama, the same would be for Mezuzah. You know, it's even though the Mezuzah may be perfect shoulder height, the way Mezuzah is supposed to be perfect shoulder height, but nevertheless, that it's not, that you shouldn't kiss it directly, you put your finger on it. Pischi Tshuva and Sivkat and Dalit just writes that you have to be a little cautious over here because if the mezuzah doesn't have a case around it, and we'll discuss that also, the need for the case, that's really our Gemara here in Lamed Beis Amud Beis, when the Gemara says to put up a makal or not to put up a makal, so exactly, and the Gemara will discuss later on also, whether it's supposed to have a case, not supposed to have a case, but if it doesn't have a protective case around it, Pesach Tshuva said, don't put your hand on it, you may, without washing your hand first, you're not allowed to touch Sefer Torah, Kisvei Kodesh, without washing your hands. A lot of people don't realize this when it comes to Megillah. A lot of people have their own Megillah when they go to hear Kriyas and Megillah. It's important to wash your hands before you open up your own, if you have your own Megillah. When you touch Kisvei Kodesh, you have to wash your hands. Kisvei Kodesh are metamenes yadayim. The Gemara was kind of concerned that it would be left near Truma and then it would be eaten up by all the mice if it's left near the food. So anyway, but the halach is you're supposed to wash your hand. So okay, the Kitzur Shla has an additional minhag that he quotes to show respect to the mezuzah. He says, when you sweep a house, the dirt should always be swept away from the mezuzah toward the center of the house. Sometimes you see an old bubby sweeping a house, they're mocked about this. It's like the younger generation, I don't know, the spinach somehow didn't make it. But when they sweep, they would always sweep toward the center of the room. I'm just reading Rav Gifter's biography. Says that, and the reason that it's based on the fact that in Spain, during the times of the Inquisition, they would test the Jew's loyalty to Torah by observing how he would sweep a room. I mean, that was like the simon that you were Shomer Torah Mitzvos, when you would sweep toward the center of the room. If you swept away from the mezuzah, they would execute you. They would know that you're a Jew, and they would. You're supposed to sweep away from the mezuzah. That's a way of showing extra kavod. You sweep toward the center of the room, away from the mezuzah, because you
were. Towards it, that was where they would be executed.
No, the Spanish didn't want us to.
Spanish.
Right. So, I mean, it's a little bit strange. Like they let us have a mezuzah, but like having a mezuzah wasn't a problem. Just sweeping toward. I'm not sure exactly how to understand the Maisa, but this is it's a bavusta thing. It's a pretty famous thing that this is what they did. I was just reading the Rav Gifter biography, so it has a lot of very good stories there and some strange stories. One of the strange stories it has there is that Rav Gifter was visiting his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, one of the Blachs from Telz, and the Rebbetzin. The Rebbe wasn't there when he first came, so the Rebbetzin said, "Have a seat. We'll be home in a few minutes." And the Rebbetzin was sweeping, and Rav Gifter said to her, "Oh, you should keep sweeping like that." And she's like, "You know, what are you talking about?" And he said, "You're sweeping toward the middle of the room. I see that. You know that minhag that you're doing the right thing. That's the minhag Yisrael." Okay, so that's also just the din in the general covet of the mezuzah, that some people have such akbada. But that's where the whole idea of kissing the mezuzah comes from. But what I wanted to discuss, really want to discuss, is the mezuzah versus tefillin issue. Which one should you buy? If you only have an option to get one or the other, so is it mezuzah or tefillin? So there is a Talmud Yerushalmi in Megillah. The Talmud Yerushalmi writes in the end of the fourth parak of Megillah that there's a machlokas. If a person can't afford to buy both tefillin and mezuzah, what should you buy? Do I have the Yerushalmi in here? Oh, look at that, I do. Okay. Tefillah mezuzah, mi kodem. So which one comes first? Which one should you buy? So, interesting, Lashon is kodem. Kodem normally means that you're going to get both, just one is going to come first. But kedima could also mean it's going to be one or the other, and you're going to make a choice. It's not always the same halachos. Which one comes first does not always mean which one you're going to do when you have a choice of one or the other. But anyway, so which one should you buy? So, Shmuel Amar mezuzah kodem, Rav Chuna Amar, tefillah kodemes. Matame de Shmuel. Why would you say mezuzah? Shekeni no hages biyam tovim b'shabasos. Because that was the unique nature of mezuzah, is that unlike a tefillin, and unlike tzitzis really in a way, but unlike tefillin, it's constant. The tefillin, you don't have Shabbos and Yantif. Why don't we wear tefillin and Shabbos and Yantif? So the Gemara says because tefillin is an os and Shabbos is an os, so you don't need an os of tefillin on Shabbos because you already have the os of Shabbos. That's a famous shaila in the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen isn't really shailas and Shuvas. Trumas Hadeshen is he wrote his own shailas and then wrote his own thoughts to answer the shailas, but he just did it in the style of shailas and Shuvas to make it a little more exciting. But the shaila that the Trumas Hadeshen asked himself was that the Gemara also says that Bris Mila is an os. And a person always needs two osos. You need, so during the week it's Bris Mila and Tefillin, and on Shabbos it's Bris Mila and Shabbos. So Chumash Deshan asked himself, what if it's Shabbos, but you don't have a Bris Mila, because Mesuach of Machmas Mila, let's say, have brothers that died because of Mila, so you're parted from getting a Mila, you don't have Bris Mila, so should you wear Tefillin on Shabbos? So you could have two osos. So the Trumas Hadeshen says, here I'm going to tell you a rule, and don't ever forget this rule, Ein lemeidin min ha'agados, that it's an agadata gemara, you can't learn halacha from agadata. That's an agadata gemara that explains why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos because we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. But the agadata gemara gives a tam, that tam is not going to be koveya the halacha whatsoever. That's a very very critical line. Trumas Hadeshen is quoted by all the poskim, always. Whenever they try to, in fact, in the whole Tcheles Bruhaha, when Rabbi Reisman discussed, one of the big tainas against the Tcheles is that the Murex trunculus snail doesn't come up once every 70 years. And the Gemara says it's all the achas l'shivim shana. So Rabbi Reisman, who doesn't like the Tchela, says that Gemara does not convince him at all. That doesn't bother him one bit. Because they in the Meidim in Agadot, Nagadato. Who learns from Agadot Gemaras? You don't learn halachas from Agadot Gemaras. So it didn't bother him at all. Certainly, So okay, but anyway, so the reason for Shmuel to say mezuzah should be kodem is because mezuzah is more constant. My time Rav Chona, shekeni no heges b'mefarshe yamim v'holchei midbaros. But why would, what was Rav Chona hold that tefillin comes first? Because tefillin applies even when you're far away from home. Whereas mezuzah, when you're far away from home, you're traveling and you're going to a hotel. You don't put up a mezuzah in the hotel unless you're from the base Munbas HaMelech. Normal people don't put up a mezuzah when they go away to a hotel. So, but wherever you go, you have your tefillin with you. So which one wins out? So that's the machlokas. That's the machlokas in the Yerushalmi. Now, the Yerushalmi goes on to say masnisa mesayel Shmuel. There's a brisa that's a raya to Shmuel that tefila shabolas osin osa mezuzah shabolas ain osin osa tefillin. Whenever you read Yerushalmis, you just have to always know that you could change one letter in every word and it will make sense. Like the wording is just so different. So when it says tefillah shabalas, it means shabala, that it gets worn out. So if tefillin gets worn out, you're allowed to turn it into a mezuzah, so that shows mezuzah is on a higher level, because you're allowed to be malam kodesh, and you're not allowed to be morid b'kedusha. But a mezuzah that gets worn out, you're not allowed to make it into tefillin. Lama shemalam kodesh lamaridin, because malam kodesh lamaridin. So you see that tefillin is lower than mezuzah. So it's a raya to Shmuel that mezuzah is better, and therefore if you have the choice, you get mezuzah. Yeah. If you hold like the Sefer Achinuch, right. So then, meaning if you hold like the Minchas Chinuch rather, then it would make this Yerushalmi, let's put it this way, Yerushalmi should be Shver according to the Minchas Chinuch. Because how come the Gemara doesn't say that? How come the Gemara, but maybe the Gemara does say that. Maybe that's exactly what Shmuel's saying. Shmuel says it applies on Shabbos and Yantif and it applies. I mean, his point is that it's always.
Should we keep order them like that?
What?
Isn't that a stronger? That it's a Chiyav all the time.
That's what he's saying. He's saying it never stops, because tefillin also never stops except for Shabbos and Yantiv at nighttime.
What is that? Is Rafona's reason for saying tefillin?
So this is what I want to discuss. So the reason given in the Yerushalmi is that wherever you are, you bring your tefillin with you. First thing you pack in your suitcase, your tefillin. But wherever you are, you don't have mezuzah with you.
So it's not that wherever you are, you're not being the kind of mitzvah of mezuzah. I mean, once you put the mezuzah up in your house, it's not like a constant mitzvah.
So how do you understand the mitzvah mezuzah? Am I being the kind of mitzvah mezuzah when I'm not home? I don't think so. Now, the Maisa Mitzvah will cover me again. You don't say it's Tasav Laman Asli when I come back home, that, you know, that it's a problem. But I don't know if there's a Kima Mitzvah, it's a Chovas Hadar. So when you're actually living in the house, then you kind of the Mitzvah. I think the expression Chovas Hadar actually doesn't come up here in Menachos. It's only in Yuma Daf Yud Aleph. But that's, you know, that's the expression.
So it seems that the argument is just which one's more Tadir.
What?
Like in Tefillin and Mezuzah. Mezuzah, you have all year round.
Ah, so it, okay. So one way to formulate the machlokas is everyone agrees tadir is best. The tadir is best. Question is, what makes it more tadir? Is tadir more situations? That ring right should immediately get your mind to tadir v'shem tadir kodem. But there's another rule we discussed yesterday: zvachim peites. That mekudash v'shem mekudash kodem. Which one is more mekudash? And that's what the Gemara seems to be highlighting with the Braisa. Which one is more Makudash? That it's Malam Bekodesh. So the one that's more Makudash is the one that should win out. Unless maybe the Yerushalmi is arguing Makudash versus Tadir. Meaning the Braisa gives a reason that it's more Makudash. What's Rav Chona going to do with that Braisa? Yeah, the Braisa says that Mezuzah is more Kodesh. But maybe Tefillin is more Tadir. Maybe. The Ramah, when he quotes this halacha, strangely, writes, source number 38, right before that Yerushalmi, Mikol makom im'ein yado maseges liknos tefillin u'mezuza, yikna tefillin v'lo mezuza, shabai tefillin not a mezuza. Okay, fine, it's possibly like Rav Chona, right? Buy tefillin not mezuza. Why? So you expect him to give Rav Chona's reason, because wherever you go, you have tefillin with you. It says, d'mitzvah she'ichoves haguf adifa. A mitzvah that's a chovas haguf is better. He had a clear out Yerushalmi, and he quotes Yerushalmi. Interestingly, the way we have it printed in the Shulchan Aruch is the citation to the Yerushalmi is there before the reason. Normally you'd finish the whole quote and then have the citation. I don't know if we can be medayik from things like that. I don't even know who added in those citations. But he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he gives a different reason. Right? Rav Chana says, wherever you go, you have it with you. And here he says, it's a chavas haguf. What does chavas haguf mean? What do the words mean? Chavas haguf. Tefillin is better because it's chavas haguf.
You perform it with your body.
You perform it with your body. So is tzitzis a chavas haguf?
Yeah.
Yes. Anything that's performed by putting something on your body. So tefillin is not a chavas haguf for that reason. Now, if that's the case, and that's certainly a possibility of what chavas haguf means, so if that's the case, then certainly he's giving a different reason than the Yerushalmi gives. The Beis Hillel in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch explains Chovas HaGuf is a mitzvah that you do by physically wearing the mitzvah on your body. Now perform with your body, is lulav a Chovas HaGuf?
No. Maybe.
You do that with your body also, right? You shake the lulav with your hands. Mitzvah, the mezuzah, it's the door, it's being on the door. Is Chovas HaGuf a mitzvah that you do with your body? Or is it that you're only getting while your body is actively involved? Or is it a mitzvah something that you wear? It's a Chovas Levisha or something like that. That has to be worn on your body.
And there's one condition that talks about Pidah Ben, which you're something you're redeemed. So who goes first?
Right.
So one opinion for that you do, because it's Chovas HaGuf. So Pidah Ben is not really, you're saying it's bodily action. How does Pidah Ben, how it comes to that?
Right. So in different contexts, the phrase might mean different things. Because over there, it could mean neither.
In general, what's Chovas HaGuf? So you can give one definition for it now.
Ideally, you should, right? Ideally, whatever our definition of Chovas HaGuf. But, okay, so how do you understand it? So what's the Ramah say?
I don't think physically...
Where else is Chovas HaGuf good? Where else does Chovas HaGuf come up? In the discussions in the Rishonim about Shlichus. Right? That you can make a shliach to do mitzvahs for you. So, I don't want to wake up this morning and put on tefillin, so I'll just make a shliach to put on tefillin for me. So the Ketzos, I mean, we should have already discussed it, but the Ketzos quotes the Tazrid, made the Tazrid famous, about which mitzvahs have shlichus, which mitzvahs don't have shlichus. Any mitzvah that's a chavas haguf doesn't have shlichus. Mezuzah, I can make a shliach to put on my mezuzah for me, there's absolutely no problem with that. I can make a shliach to marry my wife for me, to be mekadesh nisha for me. There's no problem. I mean, mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. Shouldn't say there's no problem with it. Always better to do the mitzvah yourself, particularly getting married. But you're allowed to, the shlichus works. On a chovas haguf, the shlichus doesn't work. So what's the definition of chovas haguf? What does chovas haguf mean? So the Gra, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, Bira Gra right here, source number 40, so he points out the Ramah's source is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi self Megillah, Tila Mezuzah, Mikadam Shul, Mezuzah, Kadam Rav Huna Amar. Rav Chona is Rav Huna, again, the old change a letter rule. Rav Huna Amar Tfila Kadamis, my time in the Shmuel, Shekeni Nohagas, Biyom Tov Shabbos, my time is Rav Huna, Shekeni Nohagas, Mepharsha Yom, Vahalkam in Baros, Masis, Mesaj, blah, 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 blah. Pasuk harash karav huna de mitzvah de gufei adif udvarav tamuin de tamza lehuska klal shan. Very strange, this reason of mitzvah de gufei isn't mentioned. Vichriya mi daito, the rush who the Ramah is quoting and the Ramah are machriya from their own das to passing like Rav Huna. Eliyesh lomar mishum dahi braisa itmar begmar didan lehepach vimisayel Rav Huna. He says, no, he says, the Ramah got the right psak, wrong reason. The rule is, when a Bavli argues on Yerushalmi, you pass on like the Bavli. When there's no Bavli on it, so you can pass on like Yerushalmi. But the riff at the end of Erevin says, when Bavli argues on Yerushalmi, you pass on like the Bavli, because the Bavli came after the Yerushalmi, and Hilchsa Kibasra. So, regardless of how historically accurate that is, that's the halacha. We always pass on like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. Netziv has a different theory of why we pass on like the Bavli in the Akdama to the Parish on the Shiltos, but not for now. So, we pass on like the Bavli. Says the Gra, the Bavli quotes that same brisa that the Yerushalmi quotes about turning mezuzahs into tefillin, tefillin into mezuzahs, and flips it. So, the brisa that's supposed to be a raya for Shmuel, the way the Bavli has the brisa, it's a raya for Rav Huna. Mimele, you're going to pass him like Rav Huna. Yerushalmi concludes that we have a brisa that supports Shmuel. But the Bavli concludes that we have a brisa that supports Rav Huna. So that's why you're going to pass him like Rav Huna. Nothing to do with Chovas HaGuf. Where does Chovas HaGuf come from? He made that one up, says the Gra. So do we have to say that the Rosh and the Ramah made up a reason that didn't exist? So, the term Chovas HaGuf is not easily defined. How you define it will determine whether, in fact, the Ramah made something up, or he was just really saying the exact same thing the Yerushalmi said in slightly different words. In the Beis Hillel, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, he says Chovas HaGuf is a mitzvah that you do by physically wearing the mitzvah on your body. Physically wearing it on your body. Now, if that's the case, tefillin would take precedence over sukkah, lulav. None of those are mitzvahs that you wrap on your body, that you actually put on your body. And even tzitzis it would take precedence over. Even though tzitzis is also on your body, but there are other milas that tefillin has over tzitzis. What mila does tefillin have over tzitzis? No, what's the mila tefillin has over tzitzis? One very major mila. What? Oh, so okay, I wasn't even thinking that, but yes, that it's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah chiyuv, it's not a mitzvah kiyumis, which tzitzis is only a chiyuv. You don't want to call tzitzis a mitzvah kiyumis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a situational mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. You can't just volunteer whenever. It's not like you volunteer whenever you feel like it, whenever you don't. If you're wearing a beggar at the conference, it becomes a chiyuv. So it is a mitzvah chiyuvis, but it's a situational mitzvah chiyuvis. You could argue mezuzah is also a situational mitzvah chiyuvis. Right? Mezuzah because only if you have a house. But tefillin is a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's not situational. So that's one reason why tefillin would beat out tzitzis. Another reason is that tzitzis is not tashmishei kedusha. If you can go with kadosh v'sheino kadosh, that the kadosh is kodem, so tefillin is much more kedusha than tzitzis. We've discussed in yeshiva many times, Rav Shechter has a beautiful piece in Eretz HaTzvi, where he explains the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah. The definition of Tashmishei Kedusha, the halacha is Tashmishei Mitzvah. If you have something that was used for a mitzvah, after the zman of the mitzvah, you can get rid of it. Lulav after sukkahs, put it in a plastic bag and throw it out. You don't have to, or you could save it to burn with the chametz, and then forget to burn it with the chametz, and then throw it out. So those are the two minhagim. So anyway, but you could get rid of it. You could throw it out. But tashmishei kedusha, your tefillin get worn out. You can't just put it in a plastic bag and throw it out. That you have to put in shemus. You have to put in geniza. So what's the chilek? Which mitzvahs do you say are tashmishi mitzvah, which are tashmishi kedusha? So the defining line seems to be that anything that is associated with ksav shel Torah, that has actual writing of Torah associated with it, is tashmishi kedusha. Anything that's not associated with ksav shel Torah, no matter how great and important a mitzvah it is only tashmishi mitzvah. So the tefillin is tashmishi kedusha, it's not tashmishi mitzvah. So that alone would give tefillin the leg up on tzitzis. But be that as it may, the Beis Hillel understands chovas haguf to mean something that you physically wear on yourself. In which case, it is clear that the Rambam is making up his own reason. Right? It doesn't say that. The Yerushalmi said that you're chayv wherever you go, not about that it's on your physical body. So Rukiveger suggests a different definition of chovas haguf. He says a mitzvah that you have no choice but to perform, regardless of circumstances, chovas haguf. Chavos Aguf is a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's a mitzvah that you have to do no matter what. That you can't put yourself in a situation where you're no longer going to be chayiv in that mitzvah. Mezuzah, you could put yourself in the city. Go to a hotel. No, I'm not chayiv in mezuzah because it's not my house, it's a hotel. Owned by a guy, whatever. You can get out of situations. You could not have a doorway, a proper doorway. Just make a doorway. It's patur from mezuzah. Not so hard to do. So you can get out of the requirement of putting up a mezuzah tefillin or a chovas aguf because you have to go out of your way to borrow and wear tefillin, and that's what the Yerushalmi said. Yerushalmi explaining Rav Huna's opinion says that tefillin take precedence over mezuzah because even when you're traveling far away from home, you're chayiv in that mitzvah. And the Rama is saying exactly that in different words. He just abbreviates it with the words chovas aguf. That's a Riki Vega suggestion. What about tefillin versus other chovos haguf? So, like, Rabbi Kiveger suggests tefillin, in addition to being a chovos haguf, is also very tadir. It's also something that you do very frequently. So it would take precedence over, let's say it's tefillin or lulav and esrog. So lulav and esrog is a chovos haguf also, by this definition. Because it's nothing to do with your physical body, it's about anything that you can't get out of doing. That you're obligated when you wake up in the morning of Sukkot, you say, before I go to sleep tonight, before the sun sets this evening, I need to take Dalet Minim. You have to find a way to do it. But it's less tadir than tefillin. So tefillin would certainly beat out other chovos haguf. Tefillin would also beat out tzitzis, because with this definition, tzitzis is not at all chovos haguf. That's what Sam was saying before. It's not at all chovos haguf. Tzitzis is situational. So we keep here to suggest that it could be that tadir, even Rav Huna would say, tadir takes precedence over less tadir things. And the machlokas in the Yerushalmi may be this exact machlokas Rav Kiveger suggests about tadir versus mukudash. Or let's put it this way, not like this. Rav Kiveger says, the machlokas may be how to define tadir. What does tadir mean? Something that's done more frequently. Let's say I wash 5 times a day. I love to eat bagels, so I eat 5 bagels a day, 5 different meals a day. So I bench 5 times a day. So is benching now the most tadir mitzvah in the world for me? And will take precedence over any other mitzvah? Over Kriya Shema, over Tefillah, over everything? Because it's tadir? This is a big discussion in the Poskim. Is tadir defined by how frequently you must do it? Or how frequently you're in a situation where you do it. That might be the discussion in the Yerushalmi, says Rabbi Kiveger. Meaning, the fact that the mezuzah is constant may not put it in the category of tadir, because you have the option of getting out of it by traveling a lot. It may just be matzui, something that's very common. It's like having the mezuzah constantly, living in my house with the mezuzah constantly, is the equivalent of my benching 5 times a day. I choose to be in that situation where I have that mitzvah. I don't have to be. But on the other hand, when it comes to tefillin, it's a chiyuv each and every day. They have to wear each and every day. And that's why, and that might be the real root of the discussion. It's hard to say that it's purely about tadir, though, because the Yerushalmi itself raises the mekudash issue. So you have to introduce Mekudosh into the sugya also, right? Maybe the Yerushalmi, like we said before, that the Yerushalmi is saying that if we were to leave it purely as a Mekudosh vein, a Mekudosh issue, so then you would say mezuzah would win. But It may be a Mekudesh versus Tadir issue, depending on how you define Tadir. Right, those are the two possible definitions of Tadir. This is discussed at length in the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh has a discussion about Sfiras HaOmer and benching and Kriya Shema, which one comes first. So he discusses this idea of Matsui versus Tadir. The other difficulty, though, is Rav Vazna has a tshuva in Chelek Beis and Kufnun Vav and Shevet Alevi, where he discusses, I think the context is he's discussing Sfira Somer and Marv, saying you have a Marv at 11 o'clock at night. So should you count Sfira earlier? Or should you say, no, Marv has to come first, Tadir Shena, Tadir Kodem? Right? So what would you say? What would you taina?
Isn't it only at the same time?
So the Pasha taina is Tadir Shena, Tadir Kodem is when you're faced with a choice. I'm going to do one or the other. Right? Which one should I do first? But when you're only going to do one now anyway, because there is only one to do, then you don't have to be bound by Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir. Rav Vazna says even further, Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Kodem is din Kedima, Kedima Milashon Kodem, which one comes first before the other one. But if it's not Kedima, it's not which one comes first, it's which one am I going to choose to do, and the other one is going to fall by the wayside, I'm not going to do it at all, does Tadir win? Is Tadir din in which one I'm going to do at all, or is it only a din kodem? Which one comes first? Not so pashut that it's. Where does it come? What's the primary source in Shas? Tadir v'shem, tadir kodem. A couple, but the primary source is karbanos in the fifth parak of Pesachim. Right, we talk about the karban tamid, it's the first thing, tadir v'shem, tadir, and how it relates musaf and mincha and things like. Right, that's where tadir v'shem, tadir comes up. At the end of Pesachim also, with kiddush Abdullah, yaknahaz, you also have discussions of tadir v'shem, tadir. But that's when you're doing both, yeah?
I think in Brachos, it talks about like davening mincha and musaf, and there's like a machloki rishon if that's only like right after each other, or even like zman mincha.
Whether the zman mincha...
Well, let's say like, do you have, if it's zman mincha, so can you still daven musaf, like...
Right.
Or you only have to daven mincha earlier than musaf because it's tadir if you're davening them like back to back.
Right, that's why I always understood the Gemara. What the other sheet? I don't understand the other sheet. What's the other sheet?
That even if you're not like, I think
that you have to delay davening musaf no matter what.
Yeah, once it's zman mincha, then like you should be.
Well, honest. Once it's zman mincha, yeah, because then tadir v'sheinu tadir, right? That
means
I get.
Zman mincha like gadol.
Yeah, but musaf zman musaf is still earlier. Right.
Right, I'm saying if you didn't daven musaf yet.
Yeah. So what are the two?
If you didn't daven musaf, let's say it's like 1:30.
Right.
So one opinion is that you could daven musaf at 1:30 and then daven mincha whatever it's
later.
7 o'clock because that's not you're not doing them at the same time. The other opinion is that you have to do mincha right, but like you can't do musaf.
I mean you're saying similar to the Sfira Samar and Marav.
Yeah.
So I plan on davening Marav at 11 o'clock. Well, who told you you're allowed to daven Marav at 11 o'clock? Daven Marav before you do Sfira Samar. Yes, that lechora is the same. That's the same. That's that issue. But what about if you're not going to do the other one? Do we ever find tadav shem and tadav kodem when you're only going to do one of the mitzvahs? You're not going to do the other mitzvah.
I think that's the end. That's the maskana that we want. That we daven musaf first because musaf the obligation is going to end first.
Right. It's the zman is earlier,
right.
Even though it overlaps. The zman is earlier. It starts earlier, not because it ends earlier, because it starts earlier. No.
Which one ends earlier?
Well, most of it's kolayom, so I think you can do it whenever. But I think it's that it starts earlier, since this man starts earlier, so it's the first chiv that hit you. You mechiv in that first. Would that play a role in mezuzah versus tefillin? How come no one talks about that? Let's say I became bar mitzvah before I bought a house. So no, that doesn't make a difference because each moment is a new chiv of mezuzah, especially if you understand like a menachas chinuch. And every morning you wake up, there's no chiva tefillin, right? So it has nothing to do with when you became chayiv. I'm just trying to think: is there everyone? It's just one or the other? Do we say mestama over there? You'd say mekudash if it's a daraisa drabban. There's a discussion: tadir v'sheinu tadir. What if mitzvah drabban is more tadir, and mitzvah daraisa is less tadir? So is that by definition the tadir versus mekudash? That daraisa is more mekudash than the drabban, so it's a tadir versus mekudash issue. Okay. The Pesachei Tshuva points out that even though the mitzvah of tefillin takes precedence over mezuzah, If you have a way to be mekayim both with only owning one, then you should do it. If you could borrow tefillin every day, and you can't borrow mezuzahs every day, so you should buy mezuzahs instead of tefillin and do both mitzvahs. So even though the Ramah paskins tefillin beats out mezuzah, but if you could borrow, better to borrow. What if you have a suffek? My brother discussed this in his notes. If you have a suffek, whether or not you're going to be able to borrow tefillin, but you know that you're not going to be able to borrow mezuzah. So really, tefillin is supposed to take precedence. But I might be able to borrow tefillin. I might not. So in the situation of suffek, says machlokas aposkim, Pesachei Tshuva quotes machlokas aposkim on that. On the one hand, you can make the argument that chovas haguf of tefillin is so strong an obligation that even out of a suffek, you have to make sure that you move from suffek to vadai before you move from zero to vadai on mezuzah. On the other hand, you could say that by purchasing the mezuzah, ein suffek masim midei vadai, you stand a chance to fulfill both mitzvahs if you purchase mezuzah. If you buy tefillin, you're definitely not going to be able to do mezuzah. You're definitely only going to be able to do one mitzvah.
Isn't there a time limit how long you can buy tefillin?
But each day after davening, I go over to a different guy and I borrow his tefillin. Is there a time limit to borrow tefillin? I don't remember. What's the content? Why? I don't know, I'm not remembering. Let's say you could borrow both. You could borrow both tefillin and you could borrow mezuzah. So, my brother suggested that if you could borrow both, it's better to buy mezuzah and borrow the tefillin. Why? Why is it better to buy mezuzah and borrow the tefillin? Would he come up with that? So my brother suggested that when you borrow something, you have to be prepared for the eventuality that you're going to have to return it. Right? You have to be prepared to give it back. Now, if you would have to return the tefillin, you can still borrow tefillin again the next day. So you're never actually going to miss out on the mitzvah, because halacha doesn't require the tefillin to be there always. Even if it's kol hayom, at least at night, it doesn't have to be there always. Whereas mezuzah, like we said, this goes back to that minchas chinuch, the sefer chinuch. Mezuzah has to be there constantly. So if you're going to borrow mezuzah, you're setting yourself up for a situation where you're going to have to take the mezuzah off, because you're going to have to return it. And it's never good to have to take the mezuzah off. In fact, it's so not good to have to take the mezuzah off, you're not allowed to take the mezuzah off. When you leave a house, the halacha is that you have to leave the mezuzah on. And that's really our next topic, which I guess will be Monday night. Monday night people can come, even though it's July 4th. We're okay? All right, so we're gonna learn Monday night. But I just want to have one shiur on that topic. I'm leaving mezuzahs after you move out. The packets are already on the table upstairs, so you can get a sneak peek over the weekend if you want. And that's it. There will be a short parsha shiur after Marv tonight.